And let's take our Bibles this evening. We're going to go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 22, in our portrait series. Mark chapter 5. We'll read verse 22, down to verse 24, and then we'll jump to verse 35, down to the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And if we look down to verse 35, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why maketh ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of once again opening your word. Lord, we're thankful that every time we come to the word of God, there is something that we can learn. And there's some way that in which you can change us. So Lord, help us to approach this time with expectancy. Lord, trusting that you are going to work in our hearts, that you are going to do something that only you can do. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All of us have limitations, right? That is part of what it means to be human, is to have limitations, but most of the things that we think about as limitations, they're not immovable, right? There are some that are set in stone, but then there's other limitations that we have that can be pushed back and can be expanded in a way. And there we're always humans are always doing that, right? Pushing back the limitations of what is possible. Just recently, Sebastian Sawe, he's a Kenyan distance runner. He broke the world record for a marathon. He ran it officially in at 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 30 seconds, which is incredibly fast. He ran a marathon faster than most of us could sprint at this point. But, like, they're continuing to, like, lower the time that it takes them to run that distance. Just this month in Vegas, a man by the name of Colby Raha broke the record for the highest motorcycle jump. He jumped his motorcycle close to 100 feet in the air, and he broke that record. Last May, a girl, Carolyn Pickens, she's a softball pitcher for the University of Tennessee. She broke the record for the fastest woman's softball pitch. She threw a softball 79.4 miles per hour, and the article said that's equivalent to an 111.7 mile per hour pitch in the Major League Baseball. Right, so all these records, you can find a ton of records that people are constantly breaking because there's our limitations, right? There's the record, and then people find out, oh, it actually can be pushed back. We can do more. We can be greater. We can run faster and throw things harder and jump motorcycles higher and all those sort of things. That's what we say, right? Records are made to be broken. But in pushing those boundaries, the boundaries of what's humanly possible, it means that you have to be a little bit uncomfortable, right? Because right at the edge of that boundary, right at the limitation of what is possible, that's an uncomfortable place to be, right? That's a place where you are really pushing yourself and you're living with that. Sometimes it's pain and maybe it's danger, maybe it's just discomfort, but you're living in that place for the reason of we're going to push the boundaries. We're going to try to expand what we know to be possible. And it's not comfortable out there on the edge. It's not comfortable at the limit of what is possible. Because right there is the potential to fail, right? There's the potential for failure and embarrassment in that. And for all of us as Christians, we struggle with the limit of our faith, right? Where our faith runs out and where we struggle to trust God. Even though we know that God is unlimited, and even though theoretically faith is unlimited and we could trust God to do anything, yet very practically, we run into the boundary of our faith, the limit of what we're willing to, what we're willing to trust God to do. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5, the disciples looked at Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, Lord, we want to expand the boundaries of our faith. We want a greater faith. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, Paul said, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." And this is what we want to be doing as Christians. We don't want our faith to be rigid and limited. We want to continually be trying to trust God more and expanding the boundaries of our faith, being willing to really go out on a limb to trust God for something. Because we know who God is, right? We found this in the Word of God. We know the unlimited nature of God, and we want to be able to trust God as He deserves to be trusted. But we live with very real limitations on our faith, and those limitations are things like unbelief, where we just doubt, things like self-dependence or independence, where we just rush to do things ourselves and accomplish things on our own. Sometimes it's our need to see in order to believe, that we want to see things happening before we really put ourselves out there and trust God. But God is trying to constantly expand our faith, and there's a couple ways He does that. One is through the Word of God, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more we get into the Word of God and truly see who God is, it expands our faith. It gives us a greater faith. Because it takes our attention off the things of this world. It takes our attention off the problems and puts them on God. It focuses our attention on God. And when we see how great God is, it makes the problem look smaller, and we are more likely to trust God when we're looking at God, when we're seeing how great our God is. But God uses something else. God uses trials, doesn't He? He uses trials in our life to really increase our faith. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Trials are an important tool that God uses to really push us. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." The trying of our faith, the testing of our faith, so that faith would be found unto the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ at His appearing. God is trying to push us through trials. And those are the trials and the afflictions that God brings, and the difficult circumstances that we face. Those are opportunities God puts in our way to practice our faith, and to put our faith to use, and through that to strengthen our faith. And faith grows the more we use it. Faith grows the more we are pushed to use it in difficult circumstances. And so God allows trials into our life to get us to the limit of our faith, to the edge of what we think is possible through faith, and to have us just sit there for a little bit and trust God when it's not easy to do that. And when we do that, God strengthens our faith. He firms up our faith. And we can have a stronger faith, a quicker faith, a more enduring faith. But that's not a comfortable place to be, sitting on that edge, the limitation of our faith. And in Mark chapter 5, it's a portrait of expansion. That's what I'm calling it tonight. A portrait of like an expanding faith, where there's this man who he's coming to the limit of faith. And we find that in not only his life, but the people around him. And so in Mark chapter 5, we have a man named Jairus. He's a ruler of the synagogue. He comes to Jesus Christ with a desperate need. His daughter is at the point of death. His 12-year-old daughter is dying, and he comes to Jesus Christ requesting that Jesus Christ will come back with him and heal his daughter. That's what he's wanting Jesus Christ to do. So in verse 24, Jesus and the multitude go with him. And then there's the part that we skipped, verse 25 down through verse 32. And as they're going, another lady comes to Jesus Christ and wants him to heal her, and just reaches out to touch the hem of his garment, because she knows if she just touches the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ that she will be healed. And Jesus stops to talk with her and to find out who touched him. And I was thinking through this from Jairus' perspective and kind of putting myself in his shoes. I think I would have gotten impatient. You know, I'm like, my daughter is dying. This lady who's coming to Jesus Christ, she's had this issue for a long time. She can wait another day, okay? Like, my daughter is dying. We need to get back to my house so you can heal her. We don't have time to waste. I care about this lady, right? And she's going through stuff, sure, but like, she can wait, right? There's a priority here. You know, you get to like triage at the hospital, and they're like, all right, you're not that bad. You can wait a little longer. We're going to deal with the immediate needs. I wonder if Jairus got a little bit impatient with this. He's like, you know, tapping his foot, going, can we hurry this along? You know, it's like the one person who wants to get to the airport an hour early or 2 hours early. And the other person's like, we don't need to get there that early, you know? And so, like, the one person's like, ready, they're in the car going, we need to go to the airport. And the other person's still inside finishing packing. And they're like, hurry up. Right? And here's Jairus. I wonder if he was like, Lord, we don't have time for this. Can we please just keep going and get to my house as soon as possible? Because then in verse 35, while he yet spake, while Jesus is dealing with this other woman, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And now he gets news that his daughter is passed, that his daughter is dead. And now from a human perspective, it's an even greater problem, isn't it? You know, doctors can do something if a patient is dying. But once a patient is dead, what can the doctor do, right? And so here, there's a whole multitude of people who have now thought, oh, well, you know, it's over, right? Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master anymore. And for many of the people in that day, and for possibly Jairus as well, when that news came, they reached the limit of their faith. They reached the edge of what they believed was possible for Jesus Christ. But that's a place where faith can really expand and where faith can truly grow. When we get to that limit of our faith and to the limit of what we think is actually possible with God. And what I want to see tonight is how do we know when we're there? How do we know when we're reaching the limit of our faith? And I think there's two ways we can see that from this passage. One is right there in that verse 35. I think we know we're close to the limit of our faith when we hear a voice say, don't bother anymore. Don't bother. And that's what they say to Jairus. They're like, your daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Don't bother. Don't bother having Jesus come back to your house. Don't bother asking him for anything else. Your daughter is dead. That's the end. And there's these voices that talk to Jairus and say, just give up. Just quit. Stop trying to ask Jesus Christ to do anything. The voice that tells you it's all over, there's no need to trust, there's no need to try anymore. In sports, especially in like endurance sports, they tell you that your mind will tell you to quit before your body needs to. Like you'll be, like for running, right? You'll be running and running as hard as you can. And in your mind, there's a voice that goes, oh, we can't do this. And there's a voice that says, you got to stop. We can't hold this. We can't handle this. We can't run this hard. And you have to fight that voice because your mind tells you to quit long before your body actually needs to. And it's like a self-preservation thing. It's your mind trying to preserve your body and saying, we're going to hurt ourselves. You know, we're going to do bad things to our body if we keep going. It's like this sort of, I guess, safety thing where your mind is prioritizing like self-preservation and energy conservation. And it's perceiving that the pain and discomfort as actual danger. But your mind tells you that you can't keep going, and it tells you don't have enough to do what it takes. And there were voices that were telling Jairus, it's over, that Jesus doesn't have what it takes. It's over. Your daughter is dead. And we've got a voice within us that many times will tell us that. When we're trying to trust in Jesus Christ and we're trying to like hold on to faith, and yet we hear this voice that tells us just to quit, tells us to stop trusting. It's too far gone, it's over, and it's done with. And the crowd seemed to believe that while Jesus could heal a dying girl, yet it was not possible for him to raise a dead girl from the dead. The limitation of their faith. But really what that is it's a limiting of God's power, isn't it? Because they looked at Jesus Christ, many of that multitude, and placed on Jesus Christ a limit to what he was able to do, a limit to the power of God. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28, when Jesus Christ was healing some blind men, when they came to him and asked him to heal him, Jesus said unto them, he said, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. So Jesus looked at these blind men and said, do you believe that I'm able to do this, that I am powerful enough to heal you? And they looked at him and said, yes, Lord. We know that is the right answer, right? All of us. We go, if anybody came up to us and asked us the question, is God able to do this? And they laid out a scenario. We know what the answer is, right? None of us are going to go, I don't think God's strong enough. We've been in church for, you know, long enough to know, yes, God is able. That's always the answer, right? We know that we're never going to be caught saying the wrong answer to that. But here this multitude did, right? Very practically, they looked at the question of, is God able to do that? And went, no, God can't do it. So don't bother the Lord anymore with this. And so Jesus tells them in verse 36, be not afraid, only believe. Don't be afraid, keep believing. Now, practically in our life, there are times when Jesus Christ says no, right? When we will ask for things and Jesus Christ gives us an answer, where God closes a door or God shuts down the path that we are trying to walk. I mean, there's times where we've prayed for people to be healed and they've passed away. And there have been times where we have, you know, prayed for different prayer requests and we've seen God say no to those things. And there's plenty of examples like that. And so the question is, well, should we keep praying for those things, right? Should we continue to just pray when we feel like God has told us no? I mean, sometimes it seems like God has made his will very clear in those situations, right? And there's sometimes where it's gets to a point where it's pretty irreversible. And there's time, even in times where it seems like God could reverse it, practically, should we always keep praying? And I can't give a definite answer in every case, but here's what I would say. If you're stopping praying out of unbelief and doubt because you don't know that God is able, then you should keep praying. But if you stop praying because you are trusting that God has given you the answer already and you are submitting to his will, then it's okay to stop praying for some things, right? But it has to be faith either way. Faith to keep praying or faith to accept what God has given. But both of those have to come through like submission to the Holy Spirit within us that's guiding us to say, you keep trusting for this. And we listen to the still small voice of God that says, hey, don't give up. You keep trusting. You keep praying for this. And then there's times where God says, I've given you my answer. And by faith, we just continue to trust God and submit to that. But it's when we're trying to trust God and we know we should trust God and we hear that voice that says, don't bother, just give up. God's not going to do anything. It's over. It's done. And we have to understand that we're reaching the limit of our faith. We're nearing that boundary. And that is time to just keep trusting God. Just say, I'm going to not be afraid and only believe. Continuing to trust God even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's difficult. But here's another way we know that we're reaching the limit, the boundaries of our faith. If you look down in verse 37, so Jesus looks at the man, he says, don't be afraid, only believe. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? This damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. We know we're reaching the boundaries of our faith when we hear a voice say, you're crazy. When a voice says, it's crazy to continue to think that anything is going to happen or that God's going to do something. Anytime someone tries to cross the line of what is humanly possible or to, you know, push the boundaries, there's always someone there to say, oh, you're crazy. You're crazy for trying to do that. And people throughout the years have tried to do things, and they've heard people tell them, you're crazy to try and do that. It's not going to work. It's not possible. And they've gone ahead and done it anyways, and they've found out that it is possible, that they weren't crazy, that you could do this, right? That you could try and do the difficult thing and what seems impossible, and you could get it done. And people have gone on to show that those people that thought they were crazy were wrong. But you know, there's also times where people have been told, you're crazy, ignored them, and have gone to prove that they were right. You know, they've done things that people said, you're crazy to do that. And they're like, I'm going to do it anyways. And then turns out you were crazy to try and do that. Just because it seems crazy doesn't mean you should do it. That's not the point here. Just because it's crazy for me to try and do a backflip off the steeple doesn't mean I should do it. You know, and you can all come out and watch me after this. You'd be like, that's crazy. Just because something is crazy doesn't mean that we need to do that, right? There is something called common sense in life. And I heard somebody recently say for it being called common sense, it's not always very common. And that is true. Where does common sense play into faith, right? How do those two things work together? Because God has given us, at least in some degree, some common sense to use, right? How does that work with faith, right? How could we be like practical and realistic and yet also be people of faith? Because shouldn't we also be practical? When we think about trusting God, aren't there ways that we know, like patterns and ways that we know that God works? Doesn't it seem like there's some things that God did in the past that God just doesn't do anymore in our time? That, not that he can't, right? But that he's just chosen not to work that way in our day and in our time. Can't we look at all of that and say, aren't there practical things? And, you know, all of that is true, at least to some degree. But sometimes you just have to throw out common sense and trust God. And understand that just because the practical side of us says, what's the odds that that's really going to happen? Or what are the odds that God actually works or God is actually going to do this? It seems like it's not going to happen. And they're the part of us that says, I feel a little bit crazy to ask God for this. I feel like it's crazy to think that God would do this. It seems like it's going in the different direction. Maybe that's just the way God's going. Am I crazy to trust God? And sometimes we just have to be willing to be a little crazy and say, you know what? I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to pray for this. I'm going to pray that God does this. And yeah, maybe common sense says it's not going to happen, but I'm going to trust God anyways. And you know what that is? That's us like reaching the boundary of our faith, where we're reaching that point where we go, do I trust God for this? And our faith is starting to like question and waver. And it's at that point where we have to hold on and say, I'm just going to trust God, even though it seems crazy, even though common sense says I probably shouldn't. And you know what Jesus did? I like this. In verse 40, they laugh him to scorn. They're like, what is this guy doing? Verse 40, when he had put them all out, he kicks them out. He goes, we don't need this negativity in this room. You know, and he's like, just leave. If this is what you're going to do, if this is what you're going to do, how you're going to act, just go. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He just makes the voices stop. He goes, just go, just get out. And so Jairus and the mother and the disciples, they go in, and Jesus Christ heals her. Jesus had already told Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And that had not changed. It hadn't changed. He said, you just keep trusting. Just keep believing. It doesn't matter that the people think we're crazy, that the people are wondering what we're doing and why we would even bother now that your daughter is dead. He goes, it doesn't matter. Just trust. Just continue to believe. And Jairus needed to just listen to the voice of Jesus Christ and no other voice. None of the rest of the multitude that said, don't bother. None of the rest of them that were saying, you're crazy to try and think that anything is going to happen. He needed to put all those voices out of his mind and simply trust in Jesus. And sometimes we just need to be crazy enough to trust. Just crazy enough and put that common sense out of our head and say, you know what, I'm just going to trust God. I know God is able. I know there's nothing that's too hard for God. I'm going to silence those voices that are trying to tell me I'm crazy to think that anything is going to happen and just keep trusting God. And in the end, Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And now who's crazy? And now who was wrong for saying you shouldn't bother Jesus Christ? God rewarded Jairus' faith, a faith that persevered even though a bunch of people said, don't bother Jesus anymore, don't bother. And a bunch of people that looked at him and said, you're crazy for thinking anything is going to happen. What do when we reach the limit? Well, we hear those voices, don't we? We hear the voice that says, don't bother. We hear the voice that says, we're crazy. But what do we do when we're at your limit? Because you have a decision to make. You can quit or you can keep going, right? When you're nearing that boundary of what is possible, you have that choice. Which way am I going to go? Am I going to keep pushing or am I going to fall back? Here's the verse. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. What are we going to do? Keep trusting or draw back? Keep trusting, even though it's uncomfortable, even though we're fighting those voices inside us, or maybe even people outside of us, they're trying to tell us to stop and that it's not going to do anything. Do we keep fighting those and say, I'm going to just keep trusting God. I'm going to hold on to faith, even though it's hard, even though it's a struggle, even though there's part of me that wants to doubt. What are we going to do? Faith grows in those difficult times. It's in those times of discomfort and painful faith that our faith really starts to expand. And then when we see God start to work, our faith grows. I wonder about the faith of these people here in Mark chapter 5. The people who said, don't bother, and the people who laughed at Jesus Christ for going into that room. When they watched, they got kicked out. When they watched the daughter walk out, I wonder what their reaction was. I bet they felt stupid. You're like, oh man, I was just laughing about this. I told them not to bother. I bet their faith grew. I bet they looked at Jesus Christ and went, oh, he can raise the dead. We didn't think he could. We thought the limit was if she was just sick, then he could do something. But now, all of a sudden, they realized how much greater the power of God was. And it was just because Jairus decided to keep trusting. He just trusted in God. And when we do that, when we trust God when it's difficult and when it's uncomfortable, we get to see God work. And when we see him work, all of a sudden our faith expands. And we very practically get to see how great and how powerful God is. And I wonder tonight if someone here is feels like they're nearing the limit of their faith. And you've been trusting God, but lately you've heard those voices that have told you to just stop. Like, quit praying for this. You prayed for this for how long? And why bother? Why bother to continue to pray? And maybe there's that voice that you just kind of feel crazy to ask God for something. They say, well, why would I go out on a limb and because it goes against all your common sense to ask God for something. But maybe it's the Spirit of God that's saying within you, just trust. Just trust God. Just grow your faith. And maybe you've kind of been struggling with that and you've had the thoughts that are always there. Maybe I should stop, right? Maybe I should just draw back a little bit. And tonight the Lord is saying, just keep trusting. Just keep praying. Just keep trusting and leaning upon me and watch what I can do. We need to listen to the voice of Jesus Christ above every other voice. Be not afraid, only believe. It's a portrait of expansion. A man's faith where he just trusted God and then faith expands and faith grows in those difficult times. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Be not afraid, only believe. Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I'm thankful tonight that we can trust in you. And Lord, that you are greater than anything that we face. Lord, we pray that you would help our unbelief. There are times where we struggle to trust you. Lord, to our shame, because you are trustworthy and you've proven yourself over and over to us. But sometimes we feel like we just reached the limit of trusting you. And Lord, help us to continue to persevere in faith, to continue to cling to you and to trust you with everything that we have. Lord, help us to never doubt you because you are worthy of all our faith. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us, give us the courage that we need this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.